And I just want to give you a warm welcome for the first session of Mickey's four-part series, which is Collaboration in the Workplace. And this is the first session of the Inside Job of Collaboration with Mickey Cashton.
Hi. I want to say that I am really excited about doing this course because of two reasons. One is I am called more and more to focus my energy on the workplace and shift out of doing workshops for individuals. And the other is that I am seeing more and more how the tools of nonviolent communication can be so extraordinarily useful and helpful in the workplace on a practical level, not on the spiritual level or emotional level or moral level or scientific level or any of that, just on the level of they help people. Until minutes before this call, I was facilitating a meeting of a community of practitioners here where they are managing retreat center and going through many transitions on the organizational level and just seeing how some few tips could be so helpful for them in terms of moving their goals forward and just seeing that. So there's a really happy marriage of what I am called to do and what I see is needed. And in this moment, what I would love is to hear from a few people what it is that is drawing you to this focus of collaboration in the workplace. I would love to hear from a few people. That helps me get a sense of what is going on.
The reason that I'm called to your collaboration in the workplace is that most of my time right now is spent volunteering, and I'm carrying with me a kind of am I worthy complex. I was looking through your challenges to collaboration, and I think that sometimes separation and scarcity keeps me from speaking up in a collaborative way.
Yeah.
And I'm just interested in building better skills.
Yeah. It's interesting how growing up in a non-collaborative society, it gets internalized. So even if we believe in collaboration and want to collaborate, we can find ways in which the beliefs and the habits and the practices and the traumas of the dominant culture get incorporated into us and interfere. So you are here to learn to overcome that and be more available for collaboration.
Yes, my tendency because of that fear is that I take on the whole project or as much of it as I can do until I'm exhausted because I have a fear of asking for assistance.
Yeah, that is one of the ways that difficulties in collaboration show up is that we do more than we can and we stress ourselves to have all the answers, all the skills, all the resources instead of sharing. Yeah, thank you. What brings you here?
I don't work within a large organization, but I have to negotiate with clients. So I'd like to learn to be more transparent, more trusting, to relate to others as equals, listen to what their needs are, express what works for me, rather than getting afraid and having to do what everyone else wants, or the opposite of that, holding on to my position and not listening. Having been on calls with you, I really see a difference in how I'm approaching people that I work with.
What difference do you see in yourself?
Well, I really see, you know, what works, ask, you know, what would work for both of us and make a suggestion and then hear how the other person is responding rather than saying this is my idea and it's all or nothing. And then I work in other organizations, not in work, you know, in groups where there's definitely a group dynamic and decision making.
Okay, thank you. So what I would like to do to start with is to take a little step back before we even get into the challenges. I want us all to be really, really, really deeply grounded in why we want to collaborate so that we don't just do it like it's the obvious thing to do, but we're really connected with what the benefits of collaboration are. We are in a period of transition, as I see it, in the world. coming out of 10,000 years of authority-based functioning, where there are people with power who decide for others, or there is a competition and each person decides for themselves. Either way, it's not a collaborative system. And we are in a period of transition towards more collaboration. And I would love to see if we can articulate to ourselves why we are excited and eager to collaborate more than we have been. So what I would like to do is to ask people, why is it that you want to collaborate? See if you can remember a time in which collaboration ended up being helpful to you and what made it helpful and what did it give you that you might not have had without the collaboration. I would love to hear from some people, what did you come to? What stands out to you as to why you value collaboration? The benefits of collaboration. How has collaboration been beneficial? Okay, I see one hand.
And to answer the question that was around that longing for a community of more people who have a interest in collaboration, not just an interest, a passion and an urgent desire to increase collaboration, so that we're not carrying the burden of responsibility so much in every situation of trying to hold all needs precious and trying to, you know, I guess educate or, you know, enlighten others as to why that might be a better way forward. And I certainly feel both a sense of loneliness but also passion and eagerness to be part of a community at work, to bring those skills in. So I asked a buddy here in Australia if she wanted to have access to the free recordings, and I signed up for a 2-to-1 because I just felt like just every time there's one more person that understands some of the ideas of NVC and the potential of collaboration, it's going to be easier for me to learn and apply and I guess have the confidence to bring it into a situation.
Okay, you may have said it and I missed it because the line is pretty mediocre. So I'll ask you again, and why is it that you want to, why do you think it's beneficial?
To meet my needs of community and safety and productivity.
Since we are focusing on workplace and not just collaboration in general, how does collaboration help productivity? I'd love for us to be able to spell it out. How does it help?
So what I see is, I was saying to Kimo, I'm in a position where I'm a communications practitioner. People come to me and they say, we need to communicate this, and that is code for we need to make those people do this very quickly, because if I don't, the person above me will be very angry. So we carry out. We then try to connect and we go, who's it going to affect, what they might ask this? And they're like, we don't want to know the details. Just say it. Just put it out there. And then you might enhance it, but if it gets out, when it goes out and it's incomplete, they start to get questions, people get frustrated, their change isn't carried out. So I just look at that and I think the energy and that lost passion, you know, that lost capacity for change could have been invested at the beginning with more thought, more conscious decision about, do we need to collaborate? Do we want to collaborate?
Thank you. So what I'm hearing from you, it brings up more energy, more willingness to participate, more willingness to contribute, and removes tension, mistrust, suspicion, and all of these things. Did I get that right?
That is it. And in particular, it replaces pain and silence with energy and hope and optimism, which is just magic when you can feel it happening.
Right. So there's like an unleashing of positive energy if we collaborate well.
Mm.
That's right. Thank you.
Yes, I agree.
Uh-huh. Okay. Do you have something different?
I do. It was Alan I was seeking in collaboration and a trust that when I leave the place I'm collaborating, trusting the others are joyfully doing their process and then being able to relax in my own space and then go back with joy to work or whatever function I'm collaborating on.
So in a way, what I'm hearing in you is nothing depends on only one person.
Yes.
Uh-huh. Thank you.
I get collaboration as a specific way of processing that protects choice, seeks essential needs, and works together to find optimum strategies for fulfilling those identified needs. So it shifts the way of approaching decision making. It values the other's input and insights and seeks to identify what it is and how it contributes. And in doing that, it generates trust and a desire to contribute, creates safety and willingness to pull in the same direction once the decision is made.
Yeah. It's something that I have observed many times too, that if people participate in the decision to go somewhere and it's not imposed on them, they have so much more willingness to go there. Thank you.
Getting a better idea or product or decision that's more complete because it factors in so many different perspectives, and that in some cases, for me, collaboration can be kind of painful because not everyone agrees with me, and that can feel frustrating in the moment. But if I remember to trust that the other perspectives are going to create something better, you know, that I'm not always right, I don't have the best ideas, then that kind of keeps me in the collaboration and willing to stretch to hear something that might not originally make sense to me.
Yes, because as you stretch, the final product stretches in its capacity. That's what I'm hearing from you.
Yes, and that final product is much more likely to be more widely accepted because it included a variety of perspectives in its creation.
Yes, and it's very tragic to me that because it is more comfortable to talk only with those who agree with us, even if people create teams for designing something or working on something or deciding something, if they are not consciously thinking about how do I create enough diversity, they will unconsciously pull into the team people who already agree with them. So they will have a narrower perspective. Anything else? Thank you. So all the things that I've thought about have already been said by people. So that's wonderful. And we already started kind of like seeing a little bit about the challenges. You know, it takes more effort to speak with people who disagree. It can be scary, overwhelming, etc. So let's look for a moment at the challenges. What is it that makes it so hard for us to choose collaboration even when we have so much clarity about the benefits? And I classified these at four different levels of where the challenges arise, where the either or, the separation, prevents us from opening ourselves to the process of collaboration. I want to just kind of like name the places that you can look at for where your challenges are. And you may have more than one. I know I had more than one to overcome in terms of what kept me from collaborating. So there can be emotional challenges that have to do with either fear of conflict or a sense of powerlessness or judgment about other people. Second, and within that, I would also include the curse of the competent person, which is that if you have a lot of skills, and many of us do, it may appear that doing things alone will work better because I already know the answer, because I can do it faster than anyone else, or whatever the particular competence is. So that's one set of obstacles. The next one, we have belief systems that we have internalized that keep us very deeply embedded in either or thinking. It's hard for people to believe, even when they want to in the abstract, in the moment, it's often hard for people to believe that there is a way to attend to all the needs. And so they remain in this either-or paradigm. It still happens to me very often. And a related one is a belief in separation and scarcity, which is the core set of assumptions that underlie authority-based structures for the last 10,000 years or so, which is that we are separate and there isn't enough for everyone. When you look at the fact that we have either-or thinking, we think that we are separate and we think that there isn't enough for everyone, collaboration becomes an incredibly improbable proposition. So the next piece is, within organizations, there are systemic obstacles, and I want to name those because often people don't think of it. They think that all is at the individual level. But let's look, for example, at schools. Often enough, in a school setting, collaboration is called cheating. And that's just an extreme example, but overall, the structures of reward, the structures of work, the silos, the top-down way that things are structured do not encourage collaboration. So even if I want to collaborate, I have to have enough willingness to overcome those structures in order to collaborate. And the last thing is that since we have been in centuries of competition and command and control, we haven't been exercising our collaboration muscles, and they have atrophied. So our habits are competitive. Even when we don't have any particular fear, we have the habit of doing things alone and competing. So our intention can be to collaborate, but the habit will lag behind. We lack imagination. We don't know what actions to take because we haven't sorted things out regularly. And lastly, other people around us have the same habit. So even if we remember to aim towards collaboration, we also need to have enough skill to overcome other people's habits. So those are the kind of like the overall obstacles that I have seen. And I would love for you to explore for yourselves. And let's go into your pairs and look at some situations in which you have found yourself shying away from collaborating. And what has happened? Of the particular challenges that I named, which ones were true for you, or maybe others that I haven't named, what has helped you overcome them? And when you've been able to collaborate effectively, what made it possible and what did you learn? And before that, I want to see if anyone has any questions about what I'm asking you to do. Do you have any questions? Here is a question.
Can you rephrase the questions again?
Okay. I want to ask you to do one or more of these things. Name for yourself what your collaboration challenges are. What has been helpful for you in working with them? And then when you have been able to successfully collaborate, what made it possible to do it despite the difficulties? And what did you learn?
Thank you.
All right, so let's go for each person to really dig deep into your collaboration challenges and successes, and what are you learning from them about your own obstacles and how to overcome them. Now comes the time when we can roll our sleeves and really get to work and see what to do with these obstacles. So I would love for people to step forward What have you looked at in your group, and what more light can we shed on it together? So we get some bouquet of possibilities for how to handle these situations internally.
Mickey, I really like to share about my own challenges. I recognize obstacles. Was definitely a big one for me was about the jackals I have about other people, like judgments I have, like, I know it already, or why are they so slow, or do they have to understand again, and how many times do I have to explain, and talk like that. And what was really helpful for me was learning NPC and realizing that all people have all kind of different perspectives, and just be interested in them and hearing their needs behind. So that really stretched my mind, really made me open to listen to other people.
So it sounds like it's kind of like almost like a reorientation of where you put your attention. Instead of focusing on what people are doing and are they functioning well or not, you focus your attention on interest and curiosity in who they are, what their needs are, and what they have, what they might have to contribute that you haven't yet found out, and it opens you to the possibility of receiving whatever their gifts might be.
Yeah. Is it possible for you to repeat the last sentence?
That you are reorienting your attention. You are consciously choosing to focus on interest and curiosity.
Yeah, thank you.
And I got a sense that that really opens you up and gives you access to more possibilities.
That's good.
And do you have any practice or anything that helps you reach that kind of interest and curiosity? I know you said NVC, but that's kind of like so many practices. Is there any particular NVC practice?
What was really a big eye-opener for me was that I can hear the need behind their words. It's important for me to be able to hear the words or can listen behind the words they're saying. So that's really a big difference. That's a special skill I really... really like it most. That's what's really important for me. That makes a big difference to be able to listen to the needs instead of the judgments they say. So I can hear the needs now, and that really makes a big difference.
Yeah. So the particular practice, the gift that NVC brings to you is being able to focus your attention and choosing to hear the needs behind what people are saying. What matters to them, what they want, what makes them tick. What's their passion? Yeah. What's their purpose? Any of these questions, I want to give it as a tool to everyone else, that those really are collaboration-inducing because it helps us focus on what we have in common, where our opinions and worldviews and beliefs can be very different. When we listen to the actual needs, it brings us closer together. All right. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Okay, so you're next.
Hi, Mickey. Today, we had a very contentious meeting at work, and I knew it was coming up, so I was preparing myself for it. And I'm not in the leadership of my workplace. I was very hesitant to try to step in because it's been ongoing, and so this is just another meeting of an ongoing issue, and I wasn't sure how to step in. So one of the ways I stepped in was I really asked everybody just to, I actually said, it sounds like there's a bunch of serial monologues going on and nobody's hearing. Would people just please take a breath before speaking after the person finishes speaking? Mm-hmm. And people, I think they noticed it, but I don't know if it totally worked or not. And then I also tried to name the needs that I was hearing just so that they were all on the table and people could see them.
I want to pause you because what you're describing is, I'm really enjoying it. It's just, it's one step ahead of where we are. The step that's driving is what you actually end up doing that supports the collaboration. And what I was talking about is the internal part of what made it possible for you to choose to offer this. Do you see what I mean?
Yeah.
Because in order to collaborate, the first thing that is necessary is to choose to do the act of collaborating. It's a choice because we have so many habits and emotions and systems that pull us away from collaboration. So can you pinpoint, because you said it was contentious and you were a little worried about stepping in, what internally convinced you to step in?
I think what internally is just my desire to want to contribute to the organization and the staff to hear each other better. It was like my real desire for people being heard. And I don't know if that's internally enough.
It is, because to be able to access your desire to contribute is a big deal. Again, we've been trained to focus in many other directions. So the need itself was your motivation. Connecting with your own need to collaborate, to contribute, that gave you the energy to take the action.
Yeah, thank you.
I think it's really important for us to notice what fuels us, because collaboration is an active journey. It's ongoing choice.
Hi, Mickey. The situation that I am wrestling with involves collaborating with someone where the skill level for the particular task is very different between the two of us, and it affects other people. So this can involve lots of different situations, but it's something where we're producing a product together, let's say, or a service together, and the two of us have very different levels of experience, and how do I navigate that in a way that is comfortable for both of us? And in particular, how do I navigate that as a white male dealing with someone who might perceive or themselves feel some kind of sense of oppression in that experience with me, whether it's a gender oppression or racial oppression or whatever else. Trying to be sensitive to the particular experience I had, and so thinking about it more generally, but all these things are relevant.
And so how do you work with all of that inside yourself?
For me, I want to contribute to others that are going to experience this thing, this service or this product, and I also want to have experience with this collaborator that is helpful for both of us. I'm wanting to address all the needs that come up for that around my own sense of lots of needs come up around that for me, including ego-based needs as well as more, I don't know what to call them to distinguish them, but more fundamental needs.
Oh, that's an interesting and entirely new distinction for me. In other words, why do you categorize some things as ego needs and some things as fundamental needs?
Well, I've never seen ego listed on any needs list that I've ever encountered. Not to say that it couldn't be.
Well, but you just used those words. I want to know what it means to you, because for me there's no such distinction. I am concerned about categorizing needs and making some of them more kosher than others.
I guess it's some way of acknowledging that how I'm perceived by others and how I allow that to then affect me plays a role in my actions and my emotions.
Of course it does. So, my concern is that when you call something ego needs, it would likely lead you to take it less seriously. You see what I mean? It's a judgmental term in the way that it is being used usually.
I'm not seeing it as less important. I'm just acknowledging that I'm still on a path of self-development and I'm still very much subject in my own sense of self to this has a lot of impact on me, how others perceive and receive me. Not that there wouldn't be impact anyway, but it's a stronger impact than I would like for it to be.
Okay, so let's try to find more tender frame, even more tender frame. And what I'm thinking, what I'm understanding from what you're saying is that you are noticing that in certain instances, let's say needs such as being seen, being appreciated, being cared for, that they have been enough unmet for you in your life that they become an unchosen priority for you, and you really long to be able to prioritize needs for contribution, for, you know, kind of like self-direction and things of this nature. You really want to have the inner strength necessary to do that. Is that a way of framing it that works for you?
I'm appreciating the words you started with in terms of naming needs of appreciation, and I'm forgetting the other ones exactly, but they resonated for me. I'm a little confused by the self-direction, but maybe what you're intending with that is about being able to care for those other needs that aren't necessarily directly addressing
appreciation. What I heard from you is a desire to be able to follow what matters to you with more strength, even if it's not fully received. Does that ring true?
My concern is if I were to not heed how it's received, then I would be potentially creating a real reaction in someone else who might receive it as oppression. And I really want to be sensitive to that.
Yeah, so what I'm seeing is that there is quite a bit of, internal conversation about how to handle your own needs and which needs you want to prioritize, how you want to pay attention to your needs. Is that capturing something that feels true?
I'm not sure. I'm just noticing that there were some challenges in navigating this particular situation for me and for others involved, and I want to have the skill to navigate it more adeptly and with more clarity.
I just want to say the piece about ego needs and fundamental needs, I don't have a sense that I connected with you effectively about that, and I'm honestly a bit confused. There seems to be a bit of a misunderstanding, and I'm not sure how to attend to it. And I have a bit of sadness and regret about that, and yet at the same time a willingness to let it go unresolved, and I'm wondering if there's more that you would like in this moment.
I'm just wanting to have named that collaboration has challenges specifically around the kind of scenario that I mentioned, which involves collaborating with one or more other people where we're producing some product or service together and we have significantly different skill levels and shared ownership, as in we're choosing to collaborate on this, shared ownership of the output. We don't have siloed responsibilities. We're sharing in the joint offering of this thing and that other people can receive, and navigating that in a way that cares for the needs of everyone, and adding in the potential for the other person, whether it be gender or racial or otherwise, an experience of oppression is what's at risk from my side in part.
Are you talking about the person you're collaborating with or the person for whom the product is designed?
It could be either, because it could be that the person who I'm collaborating with, any of them, whether it's one or more than one, they could themselves feel some sense of oppression, or someone witnessing it could have that sense. That's what's at risk.
So one of the challenges for you is to to be able to collaborate fully, you want to hold awareness about the effects of your actions on people with less skill or people who have long lines, such as gender or race or others, are less in a position of less privilege than you. You want to maintain true awareness of your effect on them.
Absolutely, and I also want to care for example, my need and desire to contribute also to the people who are going to receive this product or service. You know, for example, I just want to make a quality product or a quality service in my eyes.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you. I see that there is something that I didn't fully understand earlier, and I, like I said, I'm letting it go and accepting that not everything works at all times.
Hi, Mickey. For me, what I was struggling with recently was just a sense of powerlessness. And even though I had, in a particular instance, I had some structural power, I still didn't get a sense of inclusion or mattering or belonging. I didn't have a sense of trust. I noticed myself shutting down more and more and just sort of checking out until I decided that that just wasn't in line with my integrity. And what really helped me, served me, was this piece around integrity, that if I'm wanting to collaborate, then I can't expect it to come from others, that I really want to be a piece of it.
Yeah.
And so that's the part that helped me speak my vulnerability and speak my transparency around not having a sense of power, was that it just, not doing it felt so much worse than like the risks of doing it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I want to underline what you just said about not waiting for others to do the collaboration, that if you want to collaborate, there is kind of like a requirement
mm-hmm.
of self-responsibility.
Yeah, that's really where I came to.
Yeah, and that the collaborative version of self-responsibility has to do with how do I orient myself to these other people? From
yeah.
the intention of attending to my needs as well as theirs. There's a version of self-responsibility that has to do only with my needs. I'm not going to wait for other people to take care of my needs, and I will take care of them, and that's self-responsibility too. The self-responsibility that has to do with collaboration is different. It has to do with what do I do to make this collaboration work? To make the collaboration work means I internally make a commitment both to my own needs and to the needs of the other people. Otherwise, I'm not collaborative. Otherwise, I'm just negotiating with other people to get my needs met. I'm wondering
yeah.
if the difference feels real to you. If you sense on the feeling level a difference between those two orientations.
Yeah, very much so, between the different levels of self-responsibility, the two orientations.
Yeah, the self-responsibility yeah. that has to do with attending to my needs and the self-responsibility that has to do with attending to collaboration.
Yeah, I can really feel the difference.
Yeah,
I can say that one feels safer, you know, just on a surface level, that tending to my needs, like, oh, that just on the surface level feels easier, maybe a little safer. But again, attending to the needs of others and to this organization that I was serving and to my own, while it felt a little bigger to hold all that and I had to stretch more, ultimately mm-hmm. that was more in line with my integrity and really what I'm wanting to serve both for myself and in the world. And so,
yeah
it was worth that stretch.
Great. Thank you. And what made it possible for you, so your kind of like the key turning point for you was integrity. Who do I want to
yeah.
be?
Yeah, exactly.
Thank you.
Hi, Mickey. My biggest challenge is my lack of confidence. And as I talked about it in the breakout, it became more obvious is also my fear of making mistakes. And that is tied with how I would be received or not received. And what helps me to build my confidence is to actively and consciously step into the stretch zone for myself. The difficulty I experience still, and even discussing one just now was a little bit of a stretch because my body reacts and I get this anxiety reaction. So I think I go into the extreme stretch. And so I'm trying to work towards making it as an easy stretch versus an extreme. And what helped that is to remember the times when I do take action and the outcomes that do happen, which are favorable, and I can celebrate. Recalling that helps me to keep moving.
Great. And what do you do with the body reaction then?
That is the place for work for me. So I'm moving from the fight, flight, and freeze to bringing myself to the present moment and staying present and holding myself here, not running away. Like three times my finger went to the number three to take my name off, and I chose not to. I still have the body reaction. And then I guess later after the call or after the exchange is done, I sit with myself in prayers, meditation, and journaling. But in the moment, I don't have the skills to deal with them right there and then.
Yeah. So if I'm understanding you accurately, part of it is a consistent practice of bringing tenderness to yourself after you've stretched.
Yeah. I like it the way you phrase it.
I really want to emphasize again and again how important tenderness is and how rarely we actually find it, because it is not a quality that is nurtured or encouraged or rewarded. It's actually seen as weakness often. And the result is that we have a lot of harshness internally towards ourselves, which in itself interferes with collaboration. That if I can bring tenderness to myself, then I have more space to handle my reaction, and then I can show up for collaboration with more spaciousness. Thank you.
Thank you.
Most of it said, so basically it's more something about the desire to be consistent with my new values regarding MVC, tenderness toward me and value of others' needs. So trying to be consistent with that strong belief.
And what helps you with being consistent?
What helps me is being clear with that intention before the event even starts, to make agreement with others. To learn how we will manage things in order so I'll be safe and the other two.
Got it. Thank you. So I want to kind of like name some of the things that have been said, that the kinds of practices that help us with overcoming the collaboration challenges, some are before, some are during, and some are after. Before, there is various forms of practice and skill learning and building a relationship with ourselves where we have clarity about what's important to us and how we go for it. During the collaboration, when you are actually in the moment of confronting your collaboration challenges because they interfere with what you're trying to do. A lot of what I heard from people is about the power of intention, whether it is remembering why I want to collaborate, or it is about my clarity of purpose for this particular collaboration, or whether it is integrity or something else, that the intention, the vision of what I'm trying to create in itself provides energy to overcome the obstacle. And then afterwards, it's essential that we receive ourselves with tenderness. And then one more thing at the end is to, in case we didn't collaborate in the way we wanted to, something about reviewing the situation and what might I have wanted to do differently that helps us be more prepared for the next time. So those are some of the practices and the challenges, and we have a few minutes left, so I'd like to open it up for any other piece that anybody wants to bring about collaboration, any question or comment or experience sharing. It's just open. You'd like to review a situation or ask a general question or anything of that nature.
I just wanted to review a situation that's happened with me recently. Was this piece around powerlessness when I finally did speak up and I, in the clearest way that I know how, shared my frustrations and what I'm experiencing as not a sense of inclusion and shared my longing to collaborate, saying that I'm not experiencing that in a way that I can really sense into and that I find as like effective for the organization, and I'd love to find ways for us to collaborate and be able to create systems for giving feedback. And I was then asked to leave the organization. And I've been struggling with, I'm not sure, I know you weren't there to listen to the words, and it was through email, which is never an ideal format. So I guess I'm just curious, when you're asking for collaboration, how can it sound?
First of all, did anybody offer you feedback about why you were asked to leave?
Yeah, just a little bit. They didn't want to spend the time, basically, but they had other priorities that they want to focus on, and that they didn't think that what I was asking for, which I was really specific that what I wanted was to create a system for giving and receiving feedback, and that generally I'm looking to collaborate more so that all the work doesn't fall on one or two people. And those people weren't me. I wanted to take on more work so that we could be more effective. And I got a response of that that's not what we want to look at and that we don't have time for that, so you can go. And so, yeah, I'm struggling with that. When I was wanting to say, we don't have to spend much time on it because in the long run, we're actually going to get more done. And they said, not how we want to do it.
Yeah, so what you're up against is the cultural predilection for focusing on immediate results and having reticence about investing in long-term effects. That's what I'm seeing in the story that you're describing. And it also brings to the foreground something that feels important, which is that not all collaborations succeed. Not every time we reach out for collaborating and co-creating with another person, it will work. In this particular case, I actually think it makes sense that you're no longer in that organization. So in a particular way, I think I am aligned with their decision. They recognize the lack of alignment between you. I would have done it very differently if I was on their end. If I was committed to collaboration, I would have said, you know, what you are asking for is not something we want to invest in. Do you see some other way to attend to your needs? Because if this is the only way you see of attending to your needs, it looks like we may not be a cultural fit. What do you think?
Mm-hmm.
So that at least the exit is jointly decided rather than imposed.
Yeah, appreciate hearing that.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Thanks. I just appreciate the reflection, yeah.
Thanks.
Yeah, I was just going to suggest and hope that we practice during this week, the before, during, and after skills, and then report back, you know, about how it went.
Thank you. Really, really appreciate that. Thank you.
I guess the one comment that I felt sort of arising in me after hearing the different events is that it felt to me that ultimately this place where we start off with, this sense of our own awareness of our intent and sort of this, I guess, reflection or evaluation of how strongly committed am I to this process seems like a very valid, very important first place to start off with, because I do, even in your example of mourning, when things don't work out, it's not necessarily something that I think we're taught to do. So that we look at the failures of our attempts to do something that we value highly, like collaboration, as failures of ourselves.
Yes.
I don't know what to do about that except simply sort of at least to begin by acknowledging that when I go into the situation, I really don't go into it thinking I have to be aware that it might not work out. I sort of go into it thinking it's going to work because it makes so much sense and so valuable, et cetera, et cetera. That, so I think it's because of that attitude that I bring that sometimes I tend to escalate the problem. But in my earnestness to make it work, I become very protective of the idea, and then I don't necessarily listen to other people's needs and thoughts.
Yes. So there's a kind of humility about knowing that I can't know what will work or not, that I only bring an idea to fertilize the field of collaboration. So a deep non-attachment to outcome is essential for collaboration. Yeah, thank you.
The thing I wanted to say is I believe I heard in the exchange earlier something that is a challenge for me. If I believe I know how to do something better, then I think it can especially be a challenge if I'm not fully aware that that is a belief, but it is something that I might suddenly cause myself having a criticizing or almost arrogant attitude. And then if I stop and ask myself, what's going on here? I might realize that, oh, gee, I seem to think that I'm smarter than this other person, and I'm somewhat impatient. And that's just an internal challenge that I've noticed that I thought I would bring.
Yes, at the same time, sometimes it is very helpful to name differences in expertise in a relaxed way and for both parties to acknowledge that there are differences. And you can still collaborate.
You know, when you say that, it makes me realize that if it's a bit taboo to talk about these differences, then it can really get tricky.
Yes, exactly.
They're not so clear-cut.
Yeah, you know, I have been in this organization for 20 years. You came 2 years ago, and I know everyone here, and I have much more expertise about what will or will not work in this culture than you. You know, that's simple. Thank you.
Thank you.
I wanted to add to your list of before, during, after. One of the things that really helps before and after for me is also holding on to the concept of multiplicity of viewpoints. So then it gives me confidence to know what I know and to bring it forth. But to set it aside and let go of the self-righteousness by being open to others' viewpoints. And also the practice of gratitude, introspection, and support system before and after has also been very beneficial.
Thank you.
Thank you.
There's one more hand.
I just wanted to name that what the previous person had mentioned is more or less addressing what I was talking about. I mean, as you say, deep non-attachment to outcome is essential to collaboration, but how can I have non-attachment in the face of these very different skill levels when we're sharing ownership of a product outcome or a service outcome? And the challenge that what she named about, there's times when it's really tricky to name the different levels of skill.
Yeah. At the same time, I want to say that even if I have more skill and more experience than you, you might end up having the better idea and I will let go of mine. That's what I mean by non-attachment to outcome. It's not non-attachment to a product that I can feel proud of. Do you see the difference?
Yeah, that's an important clarification.
Yeah. All right, everyone. Welcome on this new journey. I know that quite a bunch of you have signed up for the full 16-week and some of you just for 4 weeks. And either way, it's a journey that I'm delighted to have your companionship on. And we'll talk to you next week.